News travelled swiftly in the Zenana. Within hours it was known by all, including Al-Wad and the guards, that the Mahdi had expressed himself pleased with the infidel woman, Al-Yamal. Rebecca's status was enhanced immediately. The guards treated her as though she was already a senior wife, not a low-ranking concubine. She was given 3 female house slaves to attend her. The other women of the Mahdi, both wives and concubines, called greetings and blessings to her as she passed, and they carried petitions and supplications to her hut, begging her to bring them to the notice of the Mahdi. The rations that were sent to her from the kitchens changed in character and quantity. Large fresh fish straight from the river, calabashes of soured milk, bowls of wild desert honey still in the comb, the tenderest cuts of mutton, legs of venison, live chickens and eggs, all in such amounts that Rebecca was able to feed some of the sick children of the lowest-ranking concubines, who were in real need of nourishment. This new status was passed on to the others in her household. Nazira was now greeted with the title Ammi, or Auntie. The guards saluted her when she passed through the gates. Because it was known that Amber was the sister of one of the Mahdi's favourites, she, too, was granted special privileges. She was a child and had not seen her first moon yet, so none of the guards raised any objection when she accompanied Nazira on her forays beyond the gates of the Zenana. That particular morning, Nazira and Amber left the Zenana early to go down to the market on the riverbank to meet the farmers as they brought in their fresh crops from the country. Figs and pomegranates were in season, and Nazira was determined to have the first selection of the day's offerings. As they passed the large edifice of the Bayt el-Mal, there was a disturbance down the street ahead of them. A crowd had gathered. The war drums boomed and the ivory horns sounded. "What is it, Nazira?"
"I don't know everything," Nazira replied testily. "Why do you always ask me?"
"Because you do know everything." Amber jumped up to see over the heads of the crowd.
"Oh, look! It is the banner of the Emir Atalan. Let's hurry, or we shall miss him."
She ran ahead, and Nazira broke into a trot to keep up with her. Amber ducked between the legs of the crowd until she had reached the front rank. Nazira forged her way in behind her, ignoring the protests of those she shoved aside.
"Here he comes," the crowd chanted. "Hail, mighty Emir of the Bajar! Hail, victor of Khartoum and slayer of Gordon Pasha!"
With his banner-bearer riding ahead and 4 of his most trusted agajiers flanking him, Osman Atalan was up on the great black stallion Al-Buk. As this entourage swept past Nazira and Amber, they saw that a man ran at the emir's stirrup. He wore a short sleeveless shift and a loincloth. On his head was a plain turban, but his legs and feet were bare.
"That is a white man," exclaimed Nazira.
And around her the crowd laughed and applauded.
"He is the infidel spy, the henchman of Gordon Pasha.
He is the one they once called Abadan Riji, the one who never turns back.
He is the prisoner of the emir.
Osman Atalan will teach him new tricks. Not only will he learn to turn back, but he will be taught to turn in small circles."
Amber shrieked with excitement. "Nazira, it is Captain Ballantyne."
Even over the noise of the crowd, Penrod heard Amber call his name. He turned his head and looked directly at her. She waved frantically at him, but the cavalcade carried him away. Before he was gone, Amber saw that there was a rope round his neck, the other end of which was tied to one of the emir's stirrups.
"Where are they taking him?" Amber wailed. "Are they going to kill him?"
"No," Nazira placed an arm around her to calm her. "He is far too valuable to them. But now we must go back and tell your sister what we have seen."
They hurried to the Zenana, but when they reached the hut they found that Rebecca was gone. Nazira immediately taxed the house slaves.
"Where is your mistress?"
"Al-Wad came to fetch her. He has taken her to the quarters of the Mahdi."
"It is too early in the day for the Mahdi to begin taking his manly pleasures," Nazira protested. "He is sick. Wad Ali says he is sick unto death. He is struck down by the cholera. They know that Al-Yamal saved her little sister, Al-Zara, and many others from the disease. He wishes her to do the same for the Holy One."
As the news of the Mahdi's illness swept through the Zenana, a high tide of wailing, lamentation, and prayer followed it.